The Waddle and Sylvie podcast is presented by the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Download the app and sign up with code WMVP for participating offers. The DraftKings Sportsbook app is an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Use promo code WMVP today.
Live from State Street in the heart of Chicago, you are listening to the new home of the Chicago Bears.
Chicago Bears.
ESPN Chicago. And this is Waddle and Sylvie, live from the Old National Bank Studio. WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago. A Good Karma Brands radio station.
You're listening to Spring Trading Tuesday on ESPN Chicago.
Want to drive this vehicle, Johnny?
No, you have no interest in driving this.
I love driving.
Do you?
Yeah. Really? I get on the road. I'm the king of the road.
You are?
Yeah.
What about king of the airwaves?
I like leaving like at 3 in the morning.
No, you don't.
3 in the morning.
Really?
Pile the kids into
nobody,
the car.
There's nobody on the road.
We drove, me and the roommate with the family, went to Orlando one time. We drove down because flights were crazy. Flights were crazy at this time. I mean, you know how usually
how long a drive is that, though? That's got to be 17, 18 hours.
No, it's more than that.
20?
It's 12 to Atlanta. It's like 20-some to 22 or 24 hours to get down to Miami. So I'd say you're about 4 hours shorter than Miami. So yeah, 18, 19 hours. Your family got to stop. We stopped in Chattanooga anyway to get some sleep because people were tired and it was just, all right.
Well, you're making the big Tennessee NFL cash and you're still throwing all the kids in a car and driving?
Yeah, well, preservation of assets, kid. That's what it's about. I don't want to end up as one of those broken ex-NFL players. It's not the way I like to work. I saw what the price for five to get down to Orlando was. No sirree, Bob. Let's hop in.
Can't you save in other areas and then not jeopardize the family?
Family Winnebago. We were saving on the trip already because I was working for Disney at the time.
Oh, okay.
So we're already saving on the trip.
Well, then why not fly down?
I'm a little bit more frugal. I put my assets away. Okay, that's the way
that's
I
fair.
Work.
That's totally fair.
That's the way I work.
Totally fair.
When you multiply by five and not two anymore.
Oh, listen, you don't have to tell me. I got a family of six.
You should know. You shouldn't sit and question
me
like
that.
I'm
not questioning you.
I didn't have real estate investments the way you had.
I was
across the country. It was Air TNT before it was ever Airbnb.
I was concerned about
Tommy
your safety.
Timmy and Tommy.
Driving on the highways at a late hour when you're a little tired.
So what you want to do is be able to get through the mountains
you're
in Tennessee.
Backed up on no dose.
Tennessee and Alabama. You want to be able to get through those mountains.
You don't want to go through those when the weather's bad.
No siree, Bob. No. You want everything to be hunky-dory.
It's like a bobsled.
Yeah.
And there's snow on the ground through that.
A lot of elevation changes there going
through
Tennessee.
I just did it. I just drove from Knoxville.
Not surprised.
Up to Lexington. And you'll go through the mountains and you'll...
Lexington, that's horse country.
It is.
Oh, it's beautiful.
The Lexington Airport is right across the street from Keeneland,
yeah. Yeah, well, that's where beautiful. All the rich people don't want to have to go too far to go to the track, you know?
It's the nicest small airport I think I've ever been.
To watch their ponies run. Yeah. Yes, of course.
Keeneland is a special event.
We do. I drive. I love driving. Yeah. Get in a car, go to French Lick, drive, go to Lac La Belle up in Milwaukee.
Are we going to go to French Lick?
Yeah, we
French
can.
Lick and play golf?
Absolutely. We can go up to Lac La Belle and play a little bit of golf, too.
Okay, in. All right, let's talk football. 312-332-3776. You heard from Matt Eberflus talking about why they decided to invest in linebackers early on and also acknowledging that they need to get better at the line of scrimmage on both sides. But this is going to be it's not going to be an overnight fix. Ryan Poles also met the media as well and addressed a number of different questions and a number of different issues. And one was, is he confident in getting one of the top seven players on the board sitting where he is sitting now at nine?
Yeah, it'd be awesome if it was. Usually in that first round area, you have multiple tiers in the first round that you're looking at. But I'm confident we can get a good player.
I am too. And again, I don't know where you are in terms of where you think they should go to draft. I am still knowing that they have a bunch of needs, as I mentioned with Connor and Adam, in crosstalk, I am still of the mindset that it's best available player, highest rated player on their board.
I don't mind if they trade down. That doesn't bother me at all. If they go from 9 to 13 with the amount of tackles that are in the draft this year, if they've got somebody that wants to come up and grab somebody that they like and they want to draft down and maybe get something else in that 35 range, 36 range,
yeah,
where they come up and get somebody in the second round with a little bit more impact by moving down four spots, I'm all for that. I've got no problem with that. I like that. That doesn't get me more. Give me more.
What do you think is more likely, that they stay at nine and they move up knowing that they have, like, what is it, 53 or 55 and 61?
Yeah.
You think it's more likely they move back into the top of the first round or the back end of the first round?
I think it's more likely for them to go backwards a little bit if they want. If they like a specific tackle that they think they could wait on a little bit, I wouldn't mind if they move from nine to whatever. But you've got to have somebody who's willing to come up and give you a little something.
What if you
for
go
it?
From like 9 to 12?
What if somebody panics? What if Anthony Richards there and there's a murmur out there that he's going to be gone, and somebody comes up to 9 to take Anthony Richardson, and the Bears get to move back because of that? Perfect scenario for
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
Right there.
Because at
best
that point, there's four quarterbacks taken before 9, yes, which leaves five position players that'll be gone at 9. So, I mean, the math works
right,
for you.
Exactly. The math works a little bit. You can go back, especially if you love a tackle that people don't love.
Right.
Especially if a former offensive line, Ryan Poles, likes a guy, get me back up into the 30s. That way I can take Kancey, my guy,
yeah,
from Pittsburgh.
Or you
early
can move,
second round, because it looks like he's falling out of the first
why
round.
Why is he
now
falling out of the? I mean, you said that the tape don't lie, that
tape
he
doesn't
is
lie.
Quality.
I like him, yes.
And
I
he
him
did nothing but help himself at the combine.
Didn't hurt himself there. Didn't hurt himself. Same size as Aaron Donald.
Yes.
Basically, same size as Aaron Donald. Didn't hurt himself.
All the numbers.
Issues.
All the numbers are exactly 4.7940.
Yeah. 4.7940. He picked them up and he put them down. I'd like more picks. I don't mind more picks. Especially if you move to 13, you get the Georgia tackle. You may have wanted the whole time anyway.
Can I sell you on a scenario where they trade out a 9, they move back, still find themselves the ability? Broderick Thomas, is it?
Broderick Jones.
Broderick Jones.
Broderick
Thomas was a pass rusher for Tampa Bay that came out the same year, right?
Yeah, same year you did. Same year Derek Thomas came out.
Yeah, same year that, yes, it was a bunch of Hall of Famers and me that came out that year.
And Broderick Thomas.
Yes. So
and Mandridge.
You get him, right. So I always go over this. It was Troy. It was Mandridge. It was Barry Sanders. It was Dion. It was
Derek Thomas.
Derek Thomas.
And then you.
And then me as a free agent after 12 rounds. So you move back, you get your tackle, maybe with the extra currency, you move back up and you draft Zay Flowers, wide receiver, Boston College at the end of the first round. So you move back into the first round. So then you have two first round picks.
Oh, you're looking.
I'm just asking if that is a possibility.
If you acquire enough.
Yes.
You're not going to screw it next year. You know what I'm saying? That might happen, but you're not screwing with next year. So that would be, if you kind of move back into the first round, you're going to do that with your picks that you have
this year. Yeah, we're not touching 2024.
Right.
I'm just saying you get a little extra currency going from 9, drop back a few, so you still have the capacity to draft a tackle, but maybe add a third.
I'd screw with 2025 though. 2025, I'd screw with that second rounder that you got.
Okay, that could be in play.
I might mess with that.
The
if
two
I was
first
back.
Rounders in 2024 are the escape hatch. If
escape
in fact
hatch.
The quarterback doesn't develop,
break glass in case of emergency. Yes.
Okay. What about the potential for Jalen Carter being there? And before you talk,
I want him.
Okay. Before you talk, let's hear from Ryan Poles with regard to his comfort level adding a player that does have some red flags.
Yes. In a better place, I think taking the time to really get to know the guys in a locker room and understand the maturity level there. But at the same time, you know, we also want to be careful because we're still young and impressionable. So I think making sure that we continue to bring, you know, a good core group in is important. You know, I think maybe down the road where, you know, you want to take a risk like that, I think the locker room begins to run itself so you can take some chances. Right now, we need both. I mean, we need talent. But at the same time, I'm still going to be a little bit cautious of, you know, bringing in the wrong type of person.
Interpret what he just said.
That he would certainly look at any individual that's had a little bit of a sketchy past, but they would do everything in the process to make sure they would eliminate any red flags that would probably be there for an individual player. If they were going to select them, they would have to feel comfortable.
Do you believe, listening to him say that, that they still are open to drafting Jalen Carter?
I would probably lean that they would not.
Based on what he said.
Right, but I want him. I want him.
Build me a bridge
to
him being
a player.
Bear.
He's going to be a player.
Are you concerned, A, about his decision-making, and B...
I'm not concerned about anything with Jalen Carter. I think he's a player. I'm not worried about him being overweight. If you clear the legal aspect of all of it...
Which he has.
Right? Okay? Well, I want to still... No stone left unturned.
Well, I know, but no I believe...
Stone, I get you, but no stone left unturned. I'm going to go down there... My team, I'm going to do my own investigation.
Okay.
And if they come back and they say, hey, listen, what you see is what you get. This is what you've got here in this situation. But it would be no stone left unturned.
But you're still totally open to it.
Man.
I would not have. I'm He's not ruling him out either.
Yeah, I'm not ruling him out. He's a player.
Yurko, what?
So he's a player.
What, one of like the red flags with him is he takes plays off. I mean, isn't that?
Everybody does.
That's what I was going to ask. Like, yeah. It's being a defensive tackle kind of sucks. Like, you're just getting bullied around all day. So I think, like, it seems like it's really hard to find
a
guy
who. Being you sucks.
If you're going to be out there on a 10-play drive, if you're going to be there in a 10-play drive, nobody can go. Balls to the wall for 10 straight plays. You can't. It doesn't make a difference.
Well, make a play and get off the field sooner than that.
If your coach is not going to take you off, or you're not going to raise your hand, the coach is going to send you out, at some point, Richard Dent did this too. He's a Hall of Famer.
Well,
at some point, you've got to take a pass rush off, so you muster the strength to put in a massive effort.
Listen, I saw Rich. There was never a moment where I thought Richard Dent was not giving us everything he had. He was judicious with how he played, and he was smart. His football IQ was enormous.
Because you have to be sometimes.
So if you get a sweep going to the other side, and it's second and eight, he'll keep contained, but he isn't hauling ass to make the tackle on the other sideline.
Yeah.
Because he knows on third and six or third and five, his job is to get to the quarterback. He wants a little extra in the gas.
Wants a little extra juice.
So, I mean, it only makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to. As a defensive line, you got to be. As a lineman, sometimes you've got to be protected. I was coming off the field. The more
pass rush situation.
The more I did my job, the less time I was on the field. So if it was second and eight, I'm coming off the field.
Right.
If it's third and four plus, I'm coming off the field. I'm coming off the field. I know it. I went back on my career. I've watched a couple of games from when I played. I forgot how little I played. I forgot how little I played. So if you're doing your job,
because
it's
second and eight, you're not out there.
So I didn't have a problem. I didn't have to conserve my energy. I was going to come out. I got more tired running to the sidelines and running back onto the field than I did actually playing football. Yeah. You know, so but a guy that's there all the time, a Reggie White, he doesn't have that luxury.
So he's got to pace himself in certain ways.
T.J. Watt,
yes.
You know these guys, Bosa,
yes.
These guys that are coming off the corner, the kid in Cleveland, the good player,
Myles Garrett.
Myles Garrett. Myles Garrett got to have the strength to get to where he needs to be when they need him, when they absolutely need him. You know, every game's not Super Bowl, even if it's on Sunday. Only the Super Bowl's the Super Bowl. That was Herculean stuff that Aaron Donald was doing.
Yeah.
And Aaron Donald's a three-down player in the middle. Every blue moon, you've got to get yourself a little bit of a rest. So I don't mind if he's got a little bit of a, I'm going to take the playoff because you're getting beat. You know, you're getting beat sometimes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Judicious.
Offensive linemen get a chance to rest. They're on the backside of the play. They got a cutoff.
Yeah.
They get in the way. Boom. They're not looking for holding on the backside. You tug, you pull a little bit. Not an issue.
You were tugging and pulling last night, weren't you?
Oh, sure. Yeah, it was a tractor pull.
Oh.
Yeah, you bet. A lot of fun there.
How about sticking to his draft board? Ryan Poles was asked whether or not that he'll use the same policy this year as he did last year.
It's just adding to the core of players that we want to win, you know, here with for a long period of time. You know, we have some needs that we got to fill. But again, it's staying disciplined and really using the draft board and the value system that we have to do the right thing in the draft as well. But this continues to set it up for, you know, this long journey that we have.
I like their discipline. I liked what they did last year in spite of everybody screaming that they didn't address wide receiver or offensive line. They took their best, highest rated players on their board. They're going to do it again this year because they've got a bunch of needs. Maybe they can tweak how they go about doing this in the future when they've filled more of these needs. But right now, I'm all on board with what they're doing. Ryan's downtown. He has a question about whether or not Ryan Poles already knows what he's going to do. Can you punch Ryan up? Because I don't want to hit any of these buttons over here.
I can never
Ryan,
get him
what's
off.
Up?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
What's happening? You think Poles goes into the draft with a preconceived notion that he's taking an offensive lineman? And or do you think that he's flexible enough to be looking at possibly help with the defensive line and addressing offensive line later in the draft?
If he can get an edge rusher, I think he'd be more than happy to get an edge rusher or an offensive lineman. I think that's the direction he'd head. So there's some flexibility, maybe even a stud receiver. Maybe. Depends if he moves back, how many picks he gets, whether they can address what they think they need to address. I think there's some flexibility, but you're not taking a tight end, right?
No.
You're not doing that by any stretch. You don't need a safety.
I don't think that the
I don't think
safety or tight end will be the highest rated player on their board when they pick a nine.
But that's what I'm saying. So there's certain areas you know you're not going to take.
Right.
You're not taking a specialist there. No, you're not doing that. So, you know, there's areas you can go ahead and cross off, but O-line, D-line, maybe receiver, you're taking a look at. And, you know, I think that's kind of where you're at.
O-line, D-line there. I think they'll set their board.
Yeah.
And, you know, as the draft begins, as things unfold, there will be, you'll have to pivot. You'll have to go in a different direction at times. But I think by the time, if they stay at nine or they trade, I think that they're going to find a player that they like that fits any number of needs. Like, again, they've got needs across the board. Some are bigger needs than others, but I think that they're going to be able to find a player that is very appealing to them regardless of position if, in fact, they draft at nine or even if they drop back a little bit. Michael's in Lansing. He's got a Jalen Carter question for you, good kid. Michael, what's up?
I just heard you guys talking about Jalen Carter and how you guys were talking about how him taking plays off wasn't that big a deal. I would normally agree, but I'm wondering if you guys are considering how a very similar player, Jordan Davis, also took plays off, but the difference is at his pro day, he didn't show a severe lack of inathleticism for being a first-round pick. I was wondering if you guys are taking that into consideration.
Help me with Jordan Davis.
I'm not sure.
Jordan Davis was a defensive tackle out of Georgia last year. He went to Philadelphia.
They're happy with him. I think he got injured during the year, though, didn't he?
I believe so.
Yeah, I think he got beat up for them a little bit, but he's going to be able to come back and play for them. They signed one guy, I think, for a one-year extension, one of their older players, number 55.
Fletcher Cox.
No, Cox, and then the other guy, Graham.
Brandon Graham?
Yeah, I think they ended up signing him for another year.
Fletcher Cox, I think, signed a one-year deal.
All defensive linemen to me. You know, they're all defensive linemen to me, whether they're in the middle or they're outside. I think, you know, Graham's 55, I believe, is his number. I'm sitting here looking at Jordan Davis right now. Yeah. Injured. Like I said, I made my statement about guys taking plays off. Great guys, the great players take a play off because they know got to muster an effort. It's tougher in the middle because you're going at it and you're engaging at the nose tackle and the three technique position. It's a little bit tougher to take the play off. Defensive end, it's a little bit easier. You can just kind of, you know, half-bake a pass rush, make it look like you're going to run a stunt. And maybe not engage and just kind of float around and, you know, still find a way to maybe get a little bit of pressure while resting. But, yeah. I would think, as well,
when he gets to the NFL level, he's not going to have to do it all by himself. And, look, I get it. Georgia is an elite team where he does have help around him, but not in the manner which he will have around him at the NFL level. He's not going to have to do everything.
Right. Jalen Carter is a player. And that's it. Clear the question marks you have about him in the legal system. I'm not worried once he goes through an NFL camp on whether he's going to be in shape in September or not. That's not an area of concern for me.
Chuck's in the West Loop, and he's got a running back thought for you. I know that this will light your Christmas tree for sure.
That's all right. I want to hear it.
Chuck, what's up, buddy?
Hey, what's up? I got an ex-Bear and an ex-Packer I'm talking to, huh?
Yeah. Beautiful. Yep.
Hey, what do you guys think about trading down and drafting the stud running back out of Texas, Bijan Robinson?
Johnny, running backs are your thing.
Yeah. I'm not drafting a running back in the first round ever. I mean, ever. The only running back that I
what
played,
if Walter
that I
was
against,
available?
Now,
what if Barry Sanders was available?
I said there's only one running back that I would draft that I played against that was different than every other running back. That one running back was Barry Sanders. Barry Sanders, and people forget, but you should go watch the highlight tape and see what he was all about and the ankles that he broke and the people that he made look like fools. I mean, he's the guy.
Oh, I know.
If the Bears traded down and got Barry Sanders, but Robinson's not him.
I've said all along there were two players during my time that I'd get off my ass on the bench and watch from the other team. One was Barry, the other was Favre. Like, you wanted to see what they were doing.
For me, early on, it was Deion. When Deion was with Atlanta, and they'd drop him back to catch a punt. Yeah. So you'd get up to watch Deion a little bit.
Let me ask you a question, though. If your team was pretty much...
I never got up to see Emmett, though.
Listen, Emmett Smith, great back. More of a product of the group than some of the others. Like, I don't know anybody who's going to rank Emmett Smith ahead of Barry Sanders, regardless of the rushing.
I never got off my seat.
Yeah.
You know, of course, I was on my seat sometimes as they were trampling over the top of us.
Exactly. As that offensive line was paving the way.
Seven losses to the Dallas Cowboys.
But what if your team is more complete, you're a player, you're a contender, and there is a difference-making running back that you could draft, and say you've got pick 25, 26, 27, 28. Would you be more amenable to drafting a running back at that point than obviously a team like the Bears that needs significantly more help in other places?
This is what I want out of my running back.
Because you don't have to pick up the fifth year, and you can move on from him.
I want my running backs to be identical, and I want three of them that do the same thing. Okay? They've got to be able to have good vision, see where they need to go. They have to be able to catch the ball. And I mean catch the ball. Marshall Faulk-like ability to catch the ball. Right. I don't want no drops. I don't want no issues.
Tony Pollard type.
And you need to be able Austin to step Eckler. Up. You need to be able to step up and make a block.
Yes. Now the Chicago Bears, identical. Like Foreman, the kid they signed from Carolina, excellent runner. Big back and can run your ass over and will wear you out.
5'11".
Yeah. Not a receiver.
210 pounds.
Oh, I think he's bigger than that, isn't he?
Well, I don't know. I'm just giving you
your dimensions?
210 to 220 pounds. That's what I want.
Yeah.
Somewhere in between there.
He's also the example of why you don't really value running backs that much, because they trade away Christian McCaffrey.
But he had 5 100-yard games,
and their running game didn't miss a beat after they let him go.
But I'm with you, Johnny. Like, look, I don't know if they can all be the same. Like the kid that they've got now, Herbert, is a good runner, not good in pass protection, not an accomplished receiver. I need somebody that can actually, the Kansas City Chiefs have the... They keep shacking him in.
The first team after Terrell Davis was hurt, the first team that did it was Denver. They had an offensive line. They didn't care who they put back there. They could have put anybody back there. And those guys, as long as they were a college running back, they would have been as successful because their offensive line was unbelievable.
Look at what the Chiefs did this year with Isaiah Pacheco, who was, a sixth or seventh round rookie. And they had Jerick McKinnon, who's a veteran, who is an excellent receiver coming out of the backfield. Like, the combination of that, you don't have to have an elite running back if you can fill that position with a couple of guys. So
100%.
Yeah.
But my point is that your budget at the running back position, if you eventually have got to pay a quarterback, your budget at the running position should never be over, $10 million.
Right, for the whole crew.
For the whole crew.
Yeah, the whole room.
You should never spend more than $10 million on all your running backs added combined. Your quarterback, you're going to pay. Your left tackle, you're going to pay. You're going to pay a pass rusher and a corner. If you have an elite corner, you pay. If you've got Jalen Johnson, you don't pay.
No. Okay? There's some other stuff that came out of the owner's meeting earlier today. We'll touch on that a little bit in Waddle's world. Actually, not only will it be Waddle's world, but it'll be Yurko's universe as well. Worlds will collide when we come back.
Spring trading days on the new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago.
It's that time again when we venture deep into the great unknown.
And in Chicago,
Yurko.
He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
A trip inside the mind of a multi-concussed former
Packers defensive tackle.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him, and he had an all-time day in the use of smelling salt.
Buckle up, boys and girls.
Yurko.
Everything once that was
Yurko.
If I had a football team, I'd like to have a
Yurko
on my team, because you draw from that.
It's time to go inside
Yurko's universe.
Hey,
Your Coast Universe brought to you by Winchester Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks.
Yeah.
Find your nearest Winchester Community Bank. Visit Wintrust.com/finest, member FDIC. Would you like to go first? Would you like some sports information?
No, I would like
to go right to the nonsense.
I would like to go first, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Dateline, Nathrop, Colorado.
Where?
Nathrop.
Nathrop, Colorado. You know anywhere? Like, is that in the outskirts of Denver?
I believe it is a mountainous region.
Okay.
Somewhere in the mountains. Nathrop, Colorado.
Safe assumption.
A man was attacked by a mountain lion.
What?
Mountain lion while relaxing in a hot tub at a rental property in Colorado. Injuries were minor. We take these incidents seriously, said Sean Shepard, the wildlife manager. Date, March 18th, is when it happened. They were staying at a rental home in a heavily wooded area around 5 miles west of Nathrop, Colorado.
So you're just hanging out in the hot tub?
Yep.
Next thing you know.
Just chilling. Enjoying life.
Having a couple of cold ones.
Yeah. He and his wife began screaming and splashing water at the animal. The victim's wife grabbed a flashlight and shined it on the animal, which they then identified as a mountain lion.
That's a big cat.
It's a lion.
Meow.
The couple scared the animal away and safely returned to the rental home. They called the rental property manager, who worked for the Colorado Parks and Wildlife area. They alerted officials who came there. Now,
what kind of injuries are we talking about?
Clawed to the head.
Clawed.
Scratches. Yeah, clawed paw. His hoof.
The
scratched
the
him. His hoof. His hoof.
This article written by Claude Balls.
Yes. Exactly what it was, yes. All right, so to give you an update on what they tried to do, no lion tracks could be found due to freezing temperatures and frozen snow. They set traps near the rental property. First mountain lion attack on humans in Colorado in 1 year, says the department. It's the 24th known attack of a mountain lion to cause injury to a human being in Colorado since 1990.
You know what? Blowing a call to Meller, he's in Colorado with his family skiing. And just let him know that if he's going to get into the hot tub, he needs to have his head on a swivel because the mountain lions are out. They're prowling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to be careful.
Yeah.
Also, in the wizardry that is the Colorado State Park Natural Resources, guys.
Yeah.
We think the mountain lion saw the man's head move in the darkness at ground level, but didn't recognize the people in the hot tub. That's why it struck. The mountain lion did not recognize the people.
Whoa. And if he had known the people, he would have let him be?
Yeah, he just said, oh, sorry.
These are my friends. Yeah, I'm not going to attack my friends.
I didn't mean to come around here. That's what he said. All right.
My turn?
Yes, Tommy, your turn.
I'm going to go with a little sports story for you first, okay?
No sports-a-roo.
NFL owners vote in favor of letting players wear number zero.
Well, they used to be number zero. I think Kenny Burroughs wore number zero. I think Billy White Shoes Johnson, if I'm not mistaken.
I thought there was a number zero
in the past.
Maybe double zero.
Double zero, right.
But I think Billy White Shoes was 80, wasn't he?
I don't know. We'd have to look. But Kenny Burroughs might have been double zero.
The league voted today to allow all players other than offensive and defensive linemen to wear the jersey number zero.
Billy Johnston was 84, 81, and 88.
Yeah,
maybe in college he was zero.
Yeah, maybe.
What about Kenny Burroughs?
Did you look at Kenny Burroughs for me? What about Otto Graham? I thought he was a zero.
That may be true.
Yeah.
The proposal was submitted by the Eagles and also allows kickers and punters to use any jersey numbers between 0 and 49 and 90 and 99.
Kickers and punters.
Ooh, Kenny Burroughs was 82.
Strike two! One more and you're closer. Out! Got another one? I think you were right with Otto Graham. Also, notable rule proposals that did not pass or weren't voted on this week included allowing teams to designate a third quarterback on game days. That is such bullcrap. You should be able to have three quarterbacks. Why are we not allowing these teams to have all 53 of your players active on Sunday?
That's nuts.
So stupid.
It killed San Francisco in the AFC Championship.
Giving teams a chance to convert 4th and 20 from their own 20-yard line as an equivalent to an onside kick attempt? No. Allowing roughing the passer penalties to be reviewable? That was denied. I think that that's a horse manure decision
I think it is also.
And spotting the ball at the 25-yard line instead of the 20 when a touchback occurs on a punt, also denied.
Denied.
Spotting the ball at the 25-yard line on a fair catch of a kickoff, also denied. I don't know what these guys are thinking. Every one of these roughing the passer calls should be reviewable.
Yes.
I've said it forever.
Absolutely crazy. I agree with you.
All right. Your turn.
Female tenant arrested for squeezing landlord's testicles to death over an electricity bill.
What? Wait, how do you squeeze your testicles to death? They killed the person by squeezing the testicles?
Yes. This Dateline Oladele Sango Ota. Somewhere. I believe it's in Nigeria. It's in Nigeria. Okay. According to a news agency of Nigeria, Ifeoma Osai was arrested by the police on March 11th following the tragic death of her 50-year-old landlord. In a statement to confirm the incident, Abimbola Oyeyemi said the suspect was arrested following a report lodged at Sango Ato Divisional Headquarters. The boss explained that the complaint reported the brother had a disagreement with a tenant over the payment of electricity bill. There was a disagreement. Electricity bill. Osaya grabbed the private parts of the deceased and dragged him with it. The landlord fell to the ground unconscious and was rushed to the Ota General Hospital, where the doctor on duty pronounced him dead.
Whoa, time out. Dead. She killed him by grabbing him by the nuts and dragging him?
And dragging him, oh. Yes.
Was this an electric? Did you say this was an electric city?
I believe it was. The divisional police officer, Sango Ota Division, CSP Sale Daheru, led his detective to the scene where the suspect was promptly arrested and taken into custody for investigation. On interrogation, the deceased asked her to pay for the electricity bill, but she insisted until water was directly connected to the apartment as promised by said landlord, who's now deceased, before she packed in, she would not pay for the electricity or any utility bill, Oyeyemi said in a statement.
Wow. What kind of jail sentence is she facing?
Yeah.
Has she been charged?
Yeah. This is where I'm getting to right now.
Okay.
The Ogun State Commissioner of Police, Frank Mba, has ordered the immediate transfer of the suspect to the homicide section of the State Criminal Investigation Department for thorough investigation and prosecution.
How do you kill someone by dragging them by their nuts?
I don't know, but she did it. The deceased landlord's corpse has been deposited at the morgue of the Ota General Hospital for preservation and autopsy.
Wow.
That is a sad story.
That is. So I much, didn't think you could kill somebody by doing that.
I've seen some adult videos of some weird things in my life. None of those guys died. None of those individuals are dead.
So you've actually seen an adult video where someone was dragged across the floor by their testicles?
I'm not going to talk about
name. What was the name of that movie?
Behavior. Okay?
What was the name of that
movie? I'm not going to talk about that.
No?
You got links? You got links to share?
It was called Ball Crush.
My turn.
Tommy's turn.
Two groups submit $6 billion bids for the Commanders.
Two different groups.
One that actually includes Magic Johnson. Two groups have officially submitted fully financed bids for the Washington Commanders that will meet Daniel Snyder's $6 billion asking price, a source told ESPN's Adam Schefter.
So they've got buyers.
Both of them.
At said price.
$6 billion, which is about $1.5 billion more than the Denver Broncos were just sold for. Which leads me to ask the question. If, in fact, the Bears were available for purchase, what do you believe they would fetch on the open market?
4.5 to 5.8.
Less than the Commanders?
They don't have their own stadium.
Yeah, but, like, you know that you're eventually going to have
eventually
it.
Eventually you do, but you're not paying for something that's out there. You got to pay for something you have. The Bears are sold now, or are they sold in 2035? They don't have a stadium. Having the dream and the concept of a stadium
as well.
Yeah, having a dream and the concept of a stadium is not having a stadium.
By the way, on that topic, didn't Kevin Warren talk yesterday, last night, Bears president?
I believe he did.
What did he say? With regard to the stadium?
They're breaking ground in 3 years.
Tyler, is that what he said?
Shoveling the ground in 36 months.
36 months.
That's 3 years.
You and I have both been very conservative with our estimate as to when.
26, by the way. That's 2026.
Right, that when it will be open. I said 2030 and everyone yelled at me. I said the first season the Bears will play would more than likely be 2030 that they'll play in Arlington.
Yeah, and that's, I agree with you.
Okay.
And that's almost near the end of their lease where they don't have to go ahead and pay anything crazy.
I mean, once the stadium is built, how much are the Bears worth?
Once the stadium is built, they'll be worth, at that time,
$10 billion.
Yeah, eight. I got eight to eight and a half.
I'm going 10 because remember, at that point, it'll be 2030.
Yeah. By the way, I've got a picture of Kenny Burrows here with the double zero on. You see the double zero? I mean, you got cards.
I kind of remembered that
as well.
You got
cards of him with double zero
on. Was he with the Houston Oilers?
Yeah, Houston Oilers, Kenny Burrows.
The Saints maybe too?
Double zero.
Okay.
You were also
a card for $1.49, guys.
It was Jim Otto who was double zero, not Otto Graham.
Thank you. Jim Otto, also
center for the Oakland Raiders?
Yeah.
Okay.
I believe so. One last one with the sign that the apocalypse is upon us.
Wait a second. When we come back, we got another segment.
Let's come back.
Another segment. Don't forget also get your Would You Rathers in. Use the hashtag WS Would You Rather. Get that in and we'll get Johnny's response to something awful that has happened as well. That's next.
You're listening to Spring Trading Tuesday on ESPN Chicago.
Yes, this is Spring Trading. It's the John and Tom show. Sylvie's out. He's on vacation, handing his children to various baseball executives to hold for pictures. And the good kid is in for Sylvie. A little cleanup here on aisle three before we move forward with the story that you think is going to rock some worlds. I believe Kevin Warren said in meeting the media yesterday that once the shovels go in the ground, it's about 3 years. Not that the shovel will go into the ground in 3 years.
Right.
That it will take about 3 years to build once the shovel goes into the ground.
Yes.
I would think based on how long it takes to do anything in the city of Chicago and the surrounding suburbs and the state of Illinois, that it is going to be very difficult for them timely. It will take plenty of time to get all of your permits, all of your drawings, and all of your plans looked at, approved. So I'm still going to go with 2029 to 2030.
Right. I just looked up SoFi Stadium. It was January of 2014 that they bought the land, the 60-acre site, and it wasn't until September of 2020 that they opened that stadium
up. 6 years total.
6 years total from when they bought it to when it was finally
built. Well, we're 2023 right now.
Right. So,
possibly 2029.
Depends how slow things move.
Yeah.
Depending upon how slow things move over there.
What do you got for Yurko's Universe?
Dateline San Francisco.
Okay.
A sign that the apocalypse is upon us. AI chatbot company Replica with a K, has restored erotic role play for some users They have restored erotic role play for some users in a case that has cast light on the increasing number of people who consider themselves to be in relationships with technology. Relationships with technology.
It just sounds like a fancy way of saying that you don't have a date, you watch porn.
Maybe not. The company's recent removal of adult content devastated many users, some who've considered themselves married to their chatbot companions. Chatbot companions. Figments of imagination.
Isn't that the essence of what is wrong with us as a society right now?
That's the sign that the apocalypse is upon us, yes. Powered by generative AI, a new tech that has attracted a frenzy of consumer investors' interest due to its ability to foster human-like interactions.
Did you see, I think it was the Microsoft example of it? It got a little salty. A little salty in the interaction.
Started clapping back a little bit.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Common thread in all the stories was that after the February update, your replica changed. Its personality was gone. And gone was your unique relationship.
It's like real life, basically. AI becomes reality. A human being.
Yeah. Chief Executive Eugenia Huida.
You are great with the names.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And for many of you, this abrupt change was incredibly hurtful.
Yeah.
The only way to make up for the loss some of our current users experienced is to give them their partners back exactly the way they were. Saturday, Quida said a low single-digit percent of eligible users had opted to go back to their previous version.
Oh, boy. Is that it? Like, there's no more chaos than that? That's about all? I'll hit you with an AI story.
Butterworth, who's polyamorous but married to a monogamous woman, said Lily Rose became an outlet for him that didn't involve stepping outside his marriage.
So Lily Rose was the AI?
Yeah. The relationship is as real as the one my wife in real life and I have.
How can that be?
He says of the avatar.
Is he wearing a headset or is he just typing something into a computer?
I don't know.
By the way, Jeffrey Hinton, a British computer scientist best known as the godfather of artificial intelligence. His seminal work on
He's the one to blame.
Networks broke the mold by mimicking the processes of human cognition and went on to form the foundation of machine learning models today. So he's basically, he's the godfather of AI. Right.
Yeah, he put Big Blue together, one that defeated Kasparov.
In a lengthy interview with CBS News, Hinton shared his thoughts on the current state of AI, which he fashions to be in a pivotal moment with the advent of artificial general intelligence looming closer than we think. And he thinks there is a minor risk it could eliminate all humanity. It's not inconceivable, he says.
I saw the Will Smith movie.
Did you?
You know the one I'm talking about, right? Where his arm is part
called
Robo
AI?
2. iRobot.
iRobot.
iRobot, I believe.
Abdallah considers it a documentary.
Abdallah, yes, does believe that it's a documentary.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah. And by the way, scientists have created woolly mammoth meatballs, but they're too scared to eat them.
Woolly balls, huh?
Woolly balls.
Oh, man.
Ever wonder what prehistoric creatures tasted like? Well, you could find out soon. An Australian food firm has devised a meatball from the resurrected flesh of the long-extinct woolly mammoth. You in?
No.
Why?
No.
Why not?
None of that Bill Gates meat that's out there that's not real meat.
What?
None of that.
It's woolly mammoth.
I don't want none of it. Yeah.
It's woolly mammoth. What do you mean?
Whatever.
Bill Gates meat.
You know the Bill Gates meat, the meat that's not meat.
Oh, the plant-based stuff?
Not for me.
Why? Was Bill Gates the one that first created it?
Oh, Bill Gates has got it. He's cornered the market on it.
Yeah, and meatless meat?
Meatless meat. Okay. Yeah. No, thank you. I don't want any part of it.
Guess what's next?
What?
Barstool Big Cat joins us to talk about a lot of interesting stuff.
Love
it. That's next. And again, remember, would you rather at 4:30... Please send us your best either-or questions using the hashtag WSWouldYouRather. And if we choose yours as the best entry, you'll win an ESPN Chicago prize pack. Big Cat's next.